Officially live on our YouTube channel right now. I want to welcome in great buddy, Jet Central, and really cool tech that we have here. We're officially live. And JC, man, how's it hanging? Just trying to get everything set, but JC, how's your night going, pal?
Yeah, man, it's doing good. Eager to talk some football.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So I wanted to first talk to you about Vontae Davis. Vontae goes to the Buffalo Bills. We have tons of Niner fans on my channel. What did you think of Vontae going to Buffalo? And I guess because he was released, he was able to make that move tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a good signing for the Buffalo Bills. You know, it's a low-risk, high-reward type of signing. It's only a one-year deal, which is good. You know, so if he doesn't really work out or if he's kind of plagued with injuries, it's not like the Buffalo Bills are going to be tied down or, you know, in the hole having to spend, you know, tons of money. So I like it. You know, Vontae Davis is obviously talented, and he could come in and you know, put in work for the Buffalo Bills.
No doubt. And I think Vontae, like, you look at Trey White and you look at that secondary, I think they have Poyer and Hyde. So they're building quite a juggernaut there. And I'm going to go on YouTube and check some of the comments. But if you guys have any questions for me and Jet Central, I want you to ask that right now. So JC, you've been tracking the Kirk Cousins to Minnesota. You've been tracking that kind of development there. And my question for you is, what do you think about all this steam and momentum for Kirk in Minnesota right now?
Yeah, I mean, as a Jets fan, I don't really like it at all, because if I were to have Kirk Cousins sign elsewhere, I'd prefer it to be Denver, you know, a team that's picking in front of the New York Jets, obviously making us have or getting us a better chance to get like a Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen or something like that. But right now, it's like all signs are pointing that the Minnesota Vikings are going to sign Cousins.
Right. But so you look at Denver. I think Denver right now is kind of almost looking towards Baker Mayfield as an option. Is there a chance that Josh Rosen, do you think, slips to number six? Because there seems to be a lot of off-field concerns. And also you look at Brandon Bean, Ian, and he's a guy that just worked with Cam Newton. I think that Josh Allen would fit in Buffalo better, and this could just all be a smokescreen that they're interested in Josh Rosen right now.
Yeah, Spencer, you know, you make a great point. I think you're totally, totally right. Josh Allen, I think, is basically Cam Newton, or a more polished Cam Newton coming out of college. They have the same skill sets, you know, strong arms, mobile, big, can take a hit, durable, and whatnot. Only difference is that, you know, Josh Allen played in a pro-style system that kind of came out of that kind of spread system at Auburn. So, you know, Josh Allen, great player. I think he does fit kind of what the Buffalo Bills like to do on offense. I don't really know what to kind of expect from Daboll or his new system that he's going to install, but you'd have to assume that he's kind of going to build the system around whoever they, you know, end up playing in 2018.
Absolutely. And so you're looking now at the quarterbacks, and what do you think about seeing these quarterbacks competing at the NFL Combine? Do you like that these guys are going to throw at the Combine?
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't know. Is everybody throwing? I know Rosen, Allen, and Baker are. Is Darnold throwing? Do you know? Be interesting to see if he's been working on his mechanics.
Yeah, Sam Darnold, I think, is actually – I think he might be the one guy that hasn't declared yet if he's going to throw. But you also have guys like Chase Lydon, Mike White. What quarterback prospects are you excited to see at the Combine?
Yeah, you just actually named two of them, Mike White and Chase Lydon. You know, I'm totally pumped to see them. Mike White, obviously, you know, we and then Chase Lynn has like really good measurables. You know, I think he's going to be weighed in somewhere around 240, 6'6", and a really powerful arm. So I'm excited for those guys. Go ahead. Hey, Bruce, how you doing?
How you doing there? Bruce Sports Talk here. Spencer just doing some technical things. So just switching to basketball, Ian, it seems like the NCAA is being rocked with almost every program is being accused of paying people off. And, I wonder where this thing is going to end up. I think a lot of discussion here, and I'm sure where you are, it deals with whether they should pay players or, you know, I don't think the NCAA is going to let all these big six teams implode.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's just like the whole thing, I know it's kind of, you kind of sit on one end of the spectrum, whether or not, you know, players should be getting paid. Me personally, I just don't think it's ethical that a college program gets millions upon millions of dollars benefiting from like a young kid, and the kid doesn't even see a sense of it. Especially, you know, if you look at a kid like Lattimore coming out of the running back. I mean, I know I'm switching over to football, but I mean, he did a lot of good things for South Carolina, and then he blew his knee out at the tail end of his college career, and couldn't really do anything in the at the NFL level.
Wait, so let me see. Ian, can you hear me right now with this mic, man? Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear.
We're trying to figure. Now we're all in the screen. This is pretty.
As I always say, is this your first Periscope, guys? It looks like our first one.
Again, now my mic is even getting hotter and hotter, I believe.
Targets for the 49ers, they have a lot of money to pay, but
it seems like the Niners are doing everything they can to get Tremaine Edmonds out of Virginia Tech. So talk about Tremaine as a prospect, and then maybe analyze the Niners seem like they want to get this cornerback situation out of the way.
Yeah, another thing I feel like, you know, I should throw in is that Trumaine Johnson, the rival at LA Rams, is going to be hitting the market along with Malcolm Butler from the New England Patriots. Both of those guys are going to be targets for the 49ers. They have a lot of money to pay. But, you know, you have to kind of shore up that position if you're San Fran. You have some great pieces on defense. You know, you look at Reuben Foster. You look at Solomon Thomas, Armstead, Buckner. These guys are trending up, which is really exciting. But you got to square that cornerback one position away. You have to figure it out, whether it be through the draft or free agency. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so my thoughts on it are that I look at Tremaine Edmonds, and I'm going to put on his highlight tape right now for these guys on YouTube. And again, we're live on YouTube, live on Periscope here with the Jet Central. And as we're talking right now, Ian, you know, as I look at Tremaine Edmonds, I just think that this guy's a freak of nature. I was originally on the Roquan Smith train, but this guy, I'm not going to say he kind of almost plays. I'm not saying he is this guy, but to me, he kind of is like an Urlacher or a Lawrence Taylor. Like, he's a basketball player, freaky instincts as an athlete. Like, his tape just blows you off of the it just blows my mind watching this guy play the game. And it seems like John Lynch would love this type of kid if he had Reuben Foster so far on his draft board last year. I think that Tremaine Edmonds, if he runs a 4.5 or 4.6, he might even go in the top three, this kid.
Yeah, the crazy thing about Tremaine Edmonds, he's actually my favorite prospect in the draft, other than Josh Rosen, quarterback out of UCLA, is he's going to be 19 when he's going to be drafted. I mean, that is insane to think about this guy at 19 dominating the way he is physically. It's crazy. I think he's going to go top 6 or 7.
Yeah, certainly John Lynch could appreciate the, you know, a big hitter, you know, being a safety himself, probably going to make the Hall of Fame next year anyway. And look at this guy's tape. You know, he just jumps, you know, right out at you, and, you know, reminds me a little of LT. And he can play linebacker, but he can rush like a defensive end. He really can play all the positions out there.
Yeah, totally agree. And
Sanko on the Periscope as well. So Bruce, you know, I wanted to ask you this question. If you're the New York Jets, and since we have Ian Jet Central on the line, Ian's looking at this as, you know, he would love to get Josh Rosen, but he's afraid that Rosen might go. And if it's not Josh Rosen, he wants Kirk Cousins. So what would you say the likelihood is, Bruce, that Josh Rosen gets to the Jets at number 6 and a team doesn't leapfrog like Buffalo from the clouds or Miami from the clouds? What are the chances that the Jets can snag Josh Rosen if Kirk is not there, Bruce?
I think it depends on the momentum of the draft. In other words, there's some drafts where they're very quarterback heavy, and once one team, in other words, if they start, you know, if they pick Josh Allen and then Darnell, you know, if they start rolling like that, he probably won't fall to 6. But there's some drafts where you just see a variety of different positions. So I think there's a chance you'll get him. But Cousins, I think, you know, he'll probably. You know, the question is, will he make his decision before the draft? He might decide on Denver or your Jets. And, you just don't know. It might be clarified before the draft or during the draft, so it's going to be quite interesting.
Right. The whole thing is kind of funny when you think about it, you know, because I feel like the Jets have so many opportunities to get their franchise quarterback, whether it be, you know, through free agency or the draft. But there's still – where the doubt kind of creeps in that the Jets will mess it up somehow, some way, which is scary to me. But I think, you know, if you're the New York Jets, you kind of have to – if you do miss out on Kirk Cousins, you have to pull the trigger on and trade up and go get your guy, you know. Go get the number one quarterback. You know, Bruce, I think you could attest to
it. I can certainly – I can relate to that because that's what the Eagles did with Wentz. And a lot of people were naysayers. They thought, you know, he's North Dakota State – and that was the right move. You know, we won the Super Bowl because of him, because we had a 13-3 record, even though he didn't play in the postseason. So if you have a chance to get a franchise quarterback, and it's a matter of your decision makers, whether they like Cousins or they think that Rosen is the guy, that could really launch your team. It could launch you right back up into contention.
Right, yeah. You can ask any Eagles fan, any Rams fan for that matter, do you regret trading up? And pretty much every answer is going to say no.
So Ian, as we sit here today, man, what are you looking forward to next week? What prospects are you looking for? Me and you are pretty similar on a lot of guys. Like Willie Hernandez is a guy that I think needs to have a big combine. But who are some wide receivers, some running backs? Who are you excited to see in Indy coming up this week?
Yeah, the wide receiver position is kind of shaky. I'm going to be interested to see how well Calvin Ridley runs. You know, is he going to be kind of a 4.5, 4.4 guy? Or a 4.3, 4.4, excuse me. Auden Tate is another guy who I think is going to check in from Florida State. He's going to have really high measurables. He's a big dude. He's going to be a red zone threat in the National Football League. But, yeah, I'm pretty eager to see, you know, quarterbacks, obviously, and then the running backs, you know. With the success that Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt had last season so late in the draft, I mean, you can look at running backs really from the top five rounds and say we can get a starting back. So those are always interesting to see as well.
And you look at John Kelly from Tennessee. He's a guy that could possibly, you know, surprise. Kerryon, the guy that got hurt last year, but he's going to be further fourth. You know, the Rashad Penny. I mean, unfortunately, when you have a guy like Donnell Pumphrey come from San Diego State, like originally it was just Marshall Faulk, but now you have Donnell Pumphrey, who kind of was a failure at the NFL level. So, I mean, I still think Rashad Penny is a very good back. And Ian, I wanted to ask you. We do have a question from Marcos Levy. He has a comment, and that's going to lead me to another question. But I wanted to ask you, right now, Anthony Miller from Memphis, a guy who I love, he's slated in the fourth round, which is just crazy to me. I think this guy's a stud. We've talked about Anthony before. Give your thoughts on Anthony, and do you think he's going to climb draft boards this week?
Yeah, I really like Anthony Miller out of Memphis. He actually reminds me a little bit of a Jarvis Landry style of receiver. You know, I feel like he can put up wide receiver number one numbers, but he doesn't really clock in or measure as a X wide receiver. He doesn't have the speed, but he has hands that is tough.
And so Marcos Levy writes in, and Bruce, I'm going to let you hear comment and ask Ian questions as well. We have Jet Central on the line. If you guys have any Jets questions, he's going to try to join us maybe every Monday. And we're also going to make this into our podcast, which you can find on iTunes. This is going to go up as an audio podcast. I'm going to download all this audio, so it's going to be terrific. Marcos Levy basically said the Niners were getting way too much hype. The Niners, I think, are the seventh team right now in the betting lines to win the Super Bowl. And I look at Jimmy Garoppolo, the guy hasn't lost a damn game yet, and this feeds right into to my channel. I mean, what do you think about the Niners? Are they overhyped? Is Jimmy going to win the MVP? I mean, could they do it? What do you think?
I think the bottom line is this, is that the 49ers are trending up big time. You know, you look at the team that they have right now, they don't really have a lot of superstars on the team, and that's okay. You know, you saw just the impact that Jimmy G had once he was acquired by San Francisco. You said it best, that he didn't even lose a game. You know, and he did play well against great defenses like the Jacksonville Jags. So you know, I like the way the 49ers are kind of trending. They obviously have, or they're going to pick in the draft. They have a lot of money to spend. I love the direction the Niners are heading in.
Sure. So we're here with Jet Central, and of course, we want to thank you so much for joining this podcast. About the NFL Combine coverage in Indy, you know, you've watched the Combine a couple of years. Is there something?
You're in Indianapolis, which is a nice town. Why not open it up to some fans? That's what I would do to make the Combine a little more interesting.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Bruce just ended you right there, Jet Central. He just put everything in the box there, and all JC had to do was bow down to the advisor here, Bruce Grossinger. Dr. G is in the house. So, JC, we have a question now from Troy Johnson. He's a huge Baltimore Ravens guy. He's a Ravens guy. He's a Virginia. I think he's actually a Virginia Tech fan, and he wants to personally ask you a question about the elder statesman, the father of 20 kids. And that is Joshua McCown. And what did you think of him last year?
Yeah, I've always liked Josh McCown off the field. He's a stand-up guy. You know, he does a lot in the communities. And, you know, supposedly he's a great teammate. Every single team or teammate loves him. Every player just raves about him, his, like, leadership skills and just, like, how nice of a guy he is. And he's confident, too, which is always cool. But as far as the long-term plans for the New York Jets, I don't really think that McCown, you know, should be signing a five-year deal with the team or anything like that, obviously.
Just if he did that, he'd be 50 years old.
Yeah, obviously. Just because he's so old, you know. But I did like, you know, what he kind of displayed last season. I know, whatever, we won five games last year. It's not really that much to rave about, but with the talent on the team, I like what McCown put together.
Ian, we now are getting some questions in from other NFL guys and other fan bases. And unfortunately, this guy, I kind of almost feel bad for him because he's a Cincinnati Bengal fan that writes into our podcast. And I appreciate Jazzy hanging out with us. But before I get into his question, what do you think about the bizarre decision to keep Marvin Lewis? I'm sorry that I'm kind of asking this question and already I'm giving you my side of things. But what do you think about old Marv staying there for two more years?
Yeah, definitely an interesting decision. I like Marvin Lewis as a talent evaluator. I think he does a really good job of picking players. I mean, it's really rare that you see Cincinnati sign big name free agents. I feel like their players are always leaving in free agency. So I feel like Marvin Lewis knows how to draft, but I would just prefer to see him in a executive level or maybe even a GM position way down the line. I don't know so much as a head coach.
Question I have here at Philly, the weird thing is even like the day after the Super Bowl, the whole speculation is what would the Eagles need to get to trade Nick Foles? And it seems like a lot of people, particularly the columnists around here, are wondering, you know, would it take a number one? Would it take a number one, number three? In my opinion, they should just sign him for like a three-year extension. And why focus on getting rid of Nick Foles? And another question is for somebody like a New York Jets fan, is there a franchise, despite the fact that he played incredibly well, he's only 29 years old, he's 6'6", pretty good arm, a lot of leadership. Is there a franchise out there that wants to build their franchise around Nick Foles? And you being a national guy, Ian, what do you think about that?
I think Nick Foles obviously did what was asked of him in the amazing playoff run. But I'm not sold personally on Nick Foles. I like him. I just feel like he almost benefited. And I don't want to seem like I'm disrespecting your team or anything like that. But
no,
I feel
don't
like
worry. Benefited. Go right ahead.
Benefited a lot from. Yeah, he benefited
don't
a lot from.
Doug Peterson. I've gotten that for 50 years already.
Yeah, no one likes them. No one likes them.
No one likes us. No one likes us. No, I'm not going to sing the Jason Kelce song. I'm not going to do it.
No one likes
That's
them.
Clickbait.
No one likes them, and no one actually cares about them either. Really.
Yeah, but Doug Peterson, you know, ex-NFL quarterback, Frank Reich, ex-NFL quarterback, and then the Filippo, who's a quarterback whisperer. I think Foles' best nation would be the Minnesota Vikings and follow, you know, his former Eagles coach.
Ian, you know what I think would be hysterical, man, is at the NFL Combine if they did like a whole weigh-in, like in hand size measurements. at the NFL Combine. I think that would just be crazy. You know, like just
– I think Tom Coughlin is a very loyal person. And so I don't think it's a terrible deal on second blush. At first blush, it was a little curious. When you think about it, it makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you look at the big picture – the deal makes perfect sense, but when you actually start like looking at like the nitty gritty and like kind of almost looking at the details in depth, it's kind of me personally. I mean, this is just my opinions. I just don't know how I feel about it.
Ian, thanks so much, man. We're going to talk to you later in the week. This was a lot of fun getting you to come on here late.
And we're jealous of your tan because we're here at Philly and it's like a groundhog. We've seen rain for 6 straight days and, we're waiting to see our own shadow up here.
Well, you guys are always welcome down in Florida. So thank you guys so much for having me on.
No doubt, Ian. Thanks so much. And that is my good friend, Jet Central. Thanks, Ian, again. That's Ian Jet Central, and he is officially signing off of the podcast. I'm going to now open this up, if I possibly can, to just us.
You do the Rover
so,
logo? You pull that in.
Maybe it's just us right now and going to widen this puppy out so that we can actually take up an appropriate screen.
Okay.
And, I mean, there we are.
So what I'd like to do is I'd like to,
fat
number
head
one
version of us.
We this is a fat head version. Our faces look fat, look like pumpkins.
Fat over fat, faff.
And the Big East is a soft, league overall. So I think Villanova is, again, we love Dr. Steve Lewis, who's a Villanova alum. But I think they're overrated. As far as teams, Oklahoma obviously felt like a stone. They're very much overrated. I really like Kansas. Like I like teams that have size down below and have balance. Kansas is peaking at the right time. I do like Kansas. That's a team that's, I would say, buy Kansas and sell Villanova right now.
I'm actually the opposite. I look at Kansas. It's a one-man show, just Devontae Graham out there playing. I don't think Kansas really has great guys on the interior at all, like, on other than Lightfoot and maybe that guy's a shot blocker.
The guy's a shot blocker, the African guy. He's very dynamic. Reminds me of a little of Embiid, obviously, because he's an African guy. And he's got freakish skills.
From an African country.
I think he might be – is he from Cameroon? I'm not sure.
Maybe.
I think he's from Cameroon. But that's
Bill
the one thing
Bill
– Bill Self definitely gets the direct line. But the way the team plays, I think they played strong in their division. They play a lot of good competition.
We have a question in from some of our guys here. And Marcus Peters, this deal was officially announced, Bruce. Marcus Peters considered a great cornerback in the NFL. I think he's a little bit like Asante Samuel in the sense that he takes a lot of risks. He comes up with a lot of interceptions. He was an all-pro guy for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he's been dealt. He has 2 years left on his rookie contract, so it's really a great haul for Kansas City. He was a first rounder. He got traded to the LA Rams this past week, and the Chiefs in return got a fourth rounder this year and a second round last, and a second rounder for 2019, the next year's draft.
I'm all curious.
Marcus Peters got kicked out of Washington. Marcus Peters is a guy that thrown out of the game this year. He had some issues just with KC fans, with Oakland fans. He was out there taking a picture of Marshawn Lynch. So the guy is obviously a distraction off the field, and it just seemed like if you pulled most Chiefs fans, they'd be so upset about this Marcus Peters situation. Do you have any thoughts on the matter about Marcus Peters?
This is what I do. I believe Andy Reid was here at Philadelphia for 14 years. He is he's a Mormon. He doesn't drink. He's got really strong morals. He lost a kid to drug abuse. I think he's very risk averse when it comes to the locker room and personalities. And I do believe you're hitting on the right thing. It's not about his play on the field. I think that he might be kind of a so-called cancer to the locker room. A fourth and a second for a guy of that talent, there's a reason they unloaded him. And that's my thoughts. I think Andy Reid just doesn't want him on his team, and he unloaded him for the best he could get, actually.
And I think that the Chiefs, as long as they field a defense, I have so much confidence. Like Kansas City trading Alex Smith just tells you that Pat Mahomes is ready to take over the show. And I can – that's the one player I'm excited to see. I have a couple of
players. I'm sure there's a few other players. There's more than one player you're excited to see.
So for prove it years, I think that next year is a huge year for David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals, the running back that was considered to be almost a lock for a guy that would be maybe a Hall of Fame caliber player. He went to one of my favorite schools, Northern Iowa, actually, and played football there, a great Missouri Valley program. And so David Johnson has a huge year, but also Derek Carr playing with John Gruden. Can Derek Carr bounce back? Can he have a better career? Can he have more longevity than his brother David had?
Well, I think he already does, and as being a starter with some gravitas. The one thing I was concerned about, and I am concerned about Carr, is the shoulder. He's been injured several times, his throwing shoulder. You remember Chad Pennington, you know, great guy, good friend of the Rover Sports. You know, I saw that Oakland game in Philly, which was really cold, very windy. And Derek Carr just didn't have arm strength. Whatever, but Derek Carr comes east when he played the Redskins killed him. I think they shut him out.
Yeah.
So does he have the strength to play? Is he going to be playoff tested? It's winter time, you know. I mean, aside from Oakland, which is pretty good weather, right in the Bay City, does he have the arm strength? Can he fight off injuries? He looked hurt, beaten up a lot at the end of this year, and he's a young guy, but, and again, there's a comment there, he's not Super Bowl caliber, and that may be true, and I like that comment.
I think that Derek Carr, too, is questionable, but a guy that I completely rule out, or a guy that I even have less confidence in, that's kind of seeming like lightning in a bottle, and this guy has all the intangibles, a guy that I just don't believe in. Well, I don't believe in two guys that are rated very high. One, Dak Prescott. I think that Dak Prescott lacks, you know, scary arm strength as well. I would take Cousins over Dak Prescott. I would take Mahomes over Dak Prescott.
Do you know what I believe in?
Who?
First Amendment and boobs.
You're trying to be Clay, aren't you?
A lot of live streams. We do watch parties. Keep logging in. Keep commenting.
Keep commenting. Absolutely. I'm going to get to a question, you know, on you.
And it'll make Sean Miller look like a choir boy.
You know what's funny, Bruce, is that I was talking about this to myself on my own Periscope that I, you know, talk to myself on, basically.
Yeah, well, people actually listen sometimes.
People listen, but it's just a time to talk to my best friend, which is myself, you know, being a reclusive.
And you can always trust yourself.
Being a J.D. Salinger type of guy and just talking to myself. But, yep. You know, what I was going to say is that, you know, if you were to poll people on whether they like Sean Miller or Mark Emmert of the NCAA, I don't.
Everybody will say Sean Miller.
Sean Miller's not even getting that much heat right now, Bruce.
Well, you know, that brings us to the whole issue is, you know, if there's truly 20 teams in, you know, and in the NCAA, all of the teams are sexually guilty of this. A lot of times the assistant coaches are the ones that take the fall. It's usually the head coach, like Rick Pitino, is buffered from that. And Sean Miller said he wanted to do the $100,000 deal himself. Probably that's the kind of attention he didn't need. And he is a good coach. And he's, what is he, 39 years old? He's a young
Sean
guy.
Sean Miller.
It's not like Pitino's a 65-year-old guy who's kind of at the end of his career.
So Pig Boy's actually an Arizona fan that's chiming into the podcast. Sean Miller was a good coach. He never could beat, actually, the Wisconsin Badgers. If you listen to Frank Kaminsky, those guys are pretty happy that they were able to beat Arizona. I like that team with Aaron Gordon, Hollis Jefferson, TJ. One of our favorite guys, TJ, was on that Arizona team.
Yep, TJ McConnell. Certainly a guy I didn't slate it to be a player of the NBA, let alone a sixth man. But he's a hustler, and he's gotten better every year.
I mean,
Sean's 50. Okay. Well, I guess 39. He was really 49. Okay,
well, the 50. Thing is, when I look at the best win that Sean Miller ever had, and I don't know if he's ever going to get rehired after this. Now, the crazy thing about all of this is that Sean Miller might be actually going to the I don't know if all
he's
these
going to FAU
if
to
all
join
these
Lane
if, Kiffin. If all these coaches were fired, if all these coaches were fired from collegiate basketball, Bruce. Dan Wetzel said today that he believes when this FCS when this FBI wiretap is all set and
done, it's going to impute everybody.
He said a Yahoo writer today said 20 to 25 Division I coaches
that was already
in the Power 5
that
are
was
going to
reported.
Be fired.
No, nope. Yeah, true. That was well.
No, no,
I'm
no
not
he
sure
said that they're going to get fired.
So you're telling me, look at all the guys. You're telling me Coach K, Roy, Bill Self.
Cal.
That's just not going to happen. The NCAA, that's their property. Right. For them to lose all that value, it's money. That's just not going to happen. So no, I disagree with
that. It's a money hog, absolutely, like you were alluding to earlier, Bruce. Our good buddy UCF Jaguars joining the podcast right now. We always can go ahead and divulge into questions, although we do like, Bruce, to sometimes
divulge into questions.
Divulge.
I like that word. Divulge
is a word. It's just a word that questions sometimes just pops up.
They don't always go together, but that's okay.
Sometimes we like to get in a flow where we talk about one topic, but we do want to actually – but we do want to interact with the fan bases
so,
as
so
well.
So let's see. We have a question?
We do have questions here. Fix Squad, which again, I don't know if that's the real name of that guy, but I think that's a
certainly his nickname.
Nice acronym.
His girlfriend calls him that.
His girlfriend, or maybe he calls her that.
She calls him the Chode Meister.
The Chode Meister. Chode Meister Flash, right, Bruce?
That's his nickname. That's what we call him, Fick.
Yeah. So basically, Bruce, that's a little distracting. He says,
sorry. It looked Chode exactly Meister. Like it looked like him.
It looked like a James McElwain. But anyway, I look at the SEC. They do have the best draft picks. But I look at the coaching hires. I'm not a huge Jeremy Pruitt guy right now. I like what Chad Morris is going to bring to Arkansas. Kirby Smart was a hell of an investment. I think Dan Mullen's going to be a great investment. I would say it's Big Ten. I would say SEC right now is just slightly ahead of the Big Ten. But the Big Ten has surpassed with Scott Frost hiring. Has surpassed the Big 12. Like, I think Scott Frost is just
biased because we cover them a little bit
preferentially. I think that the SEC, and then I want to end.
No pun intended. More nuts than bolts with him.
So how did Hugh Freeze, like, meet the prostitutes in Florida? How do you arrange that?
You act like I have some inside information.
No, but how
– TMZ.
How would you go about
it's
that?
It's probably called actually picking up your cell phone, calling a – You know,
calling where? I mean, hooker houses are not listed
in the
normal market.
Well,
they're illegal in the state of Florida.
Well, let me say they're illegal actually technically everywhere.
No,
but
Nevada. Nevada on the outskirts.
So to answer
Nevada,
the question, there's something called – there are two, I guess, notorious sites. One is called Backpage.com, and there's prostitutes everywhere on there. There's another site called Craigslist where so if somebody wants to be stupid, the problem is a lot of those – That list there, Duke gets stung and you freeze.
Are they independent contractors? Those prostitutes, those females.
The ones that are not smuggled in. You know. Obviously, there's a lot of illegal smuggling, underage people. There's a lot of bad things happening there. But I have no idea what his sources were. I don't think anybody could really answer that.
Ole Miss played in the swamp a couple of years ago. And it was when Will Greer was the quarterback at Florida. And it was a game that Ole Miss was favored to really compete in. I think they might have had Bo Wallace at the time. And it was before Will Greer decided to put peptides into his body and transfer schools. And Ole Miss lost that game like 31-7. I was like, what the hell is wrong with the Rebels? If you connect the dots, it could be possible that Hugh Freeze was having his episode during that time. Now, do you think that the prostitute
–
Could the hooker have been a Florida fan and leaked – like, how did Ross Bjork and the Ole Miss Athletic Department, how did they get their hands on the calls between Hugh Freeze and the escort? How did Ross Bjork or the NCAA get that phone call? That's my question to you.
Well, my answer is that somebody – we're probably following or wiretapping the prostitutes. And then I think that blew back. Somebody leaked that out to the media. And, other than that, I think it's pure speculation. I don't think anybody could really, answer that.
We'll go to another topic here. A lot of people are asking about Lamar Jackson. And, a lot of people, when you talk about Lamar Jackson, some people fit of his arm talent, I would take Lamar Jackson over Mason Rudolph, Rosen, same with Jet Central. And King Braz says Jimmy G, Deshaun Watson, or Patrick Mahomes.
Put it out in that way. I think that it'll be easier to police. And what's going on right now, there's a lot of runners for a lot of agents. So agents are paying money, particularly to high school kids. There's also sneaker companies primarily paying off at, you know, whether it's Under Armour or Adidas or Nike. Sure. They're trying to get these guys paid off early, and then they go to a school, a college, and then they stay with it in an agent. So this is everybody's getting paid.
Why don't you?
And that's just the reality of it.
Just allow the players to just market off of themselves, sell their own jerseys. Like, you know, the thing is about, like, Baker Mayfield wanted to sign with Under Armour and he's playing in Oklahoma. Like, the schools make all their money based on the companies, though. Like, look at Oregon and Nike.
Well, maybe they'll open it up. Maybe it'll be like antitrust. Maybe they'll make it so that a college cannot align with one brand and that they have to be open so the individual players can sign up. So essentially, it's almost like free agency. And allowing more freedom and free agency, rather than having to go to a school and being locked in to a contract, I think that's where a lot of the problems start.
How football be its own entity away from NCAA?
Well, when you look at the college national championship, it's actually a separate. That's a separate group, but it's all under the NCAA. Who are we kidding there?
There's only a couple of players, though, that I think like I know like the Alabama and Georgia players, but all the backups are just, you know, walk-on kids. You know, you look
they wouldn't command sponsorship. That's what
even in the Big 12.
Who would pay that?
Like, look at the Big 12. Like, look at the defensive players in the Big 12 that are just not going to be playing at the NFL level. You know, look at the Pac-12 defensive kids. I mean, it'd be so hard to police it, but the one guys who have big gripes are like the Johnny Manziels, you know, the superstar Leonard Fournettes, the guys that, you know, are stars at college.
Particularly in football, because you have to play 3 years, I guess.
Lamar Jackson. And these are just like
this is the problem. This is the problem. In football, many more career-ending injuries in college. So many examples of guys that basically went there really to play football, had no interest in academics. They blew out their knees in their junior year. They gave everything to the school. The school built, you know, $100 million stadiums, and they ended up with nothing. You know, they ended up, you know, working down the street from the college stadium doing some menial job. So I think football, you know, basketball players do get paid. It's a, you know, one and done. So I feel I empathize more for the football players, and especially the guys the guys that get hurt. You know, everybody, I guess, in football, other than maybe the kickers, are really putting themselves at risk because it's a very physical game. I think we should try to wrap it up.
Absolutely. You know, I appreciate Jet Central coming on the show today. We're going to try to download this, you know, into a sound audio podcast. It's under Rover Sports. So if you guys, again, want to tell your friends about it, we should be able to have an iTunes podcasting page, which again is very exciting because we look up to the greats on, you know, the podcasters such as Bill Simmons, such as Big Cat, PFT Commenter, all the elite ones are on iTunes. So we're really